Welcome to PCMC. I'm Mike Bongiorno. I'm joined by the boy wonder, Janine Gagliardi.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm good. I'm not in this movie.
No, you're not. But if you had asked me 2 weeks ago, are you? I would have been like, yeah, Robin's in there somewhere. It's not.
No.
That scene where Batman is watching Andrea through the binoculars. Which, yeah. You know, his detective work. I watch you with binoculars.
Yeah, I have dinner.
I could have swore Robin was in that scene, just next to him. He wasn't. He wasn't at all. He's not in that movie.
No. And I was like, what? He wasn't even in the series yet, but he was.
He was.
And I just erased him.
Yeah.
Poor Batman. Poor Robin. Robin erasure.
We're here to talk about the 1993 animated theatrical release.
That's right.
Batman Mask of the Phantasm. Now, there's been a lot of animated films that are part of this universe. The Bruce Timm universe, the animated universe.
Mm-hmm.
But this is the only one that was theatrically released.
Mm-hmm.
There
right.
are some other ones that are good. I like the Return of the Joker, Batman.
That's a great
Batman
one.
Batman Beyond, Return of the Joker.
That's a great one.
That's actually the only Batman Beyond I've seen, is that movie.
I've seen like a very little of the series, but yeah, agreed. That it's just so good that it transcended the series.
Yeah. I loved the Batman animated series. I loved, I didn't watch it at the time, but later on I watched the Superman animated series,
mm-hmm.
which is made by the same people.
And the Justice League one was too.
And Justice, yeah. Right. And they'd have the same people voice things.
Justice League had some really cool episodes for a while. They were doing a good run.
And Dana Delaney, who's the voice of Andrea Beaumont in this mm-hmm. film, was then the voice of Lois Lane in Superman. And then everything since then, she's been the voice of Lois Lane.
Wow. Okay.
So Mask of the Phantasm comes out in 1993.
That's right. Season one of the animated series.
Only one year after Batman Returns as well.
Mm-hmm.
And it is directed by lots of people because it's animated. Kevin Altieri, Boyd Kirkland, Frank Power, Dan Reba, Eric Radomski,
mm-hmm.
Radomski, and Bruce Timm.
Mm-hmm.
And it is written by...
I think Paul Dini wrote some of it as well.
Yeah, Paul Dini.
Yeah.
Screenplay by Paul Dini. Story and screenplay by Alan Burnett,
mm-hmm.
also Mark Pascoe, Michael Reeves, and a Batman creator credit to Bob Kane. But you know, now they fought and won that. Now it always says Bob Kane and Bill Finger.
Yeah,
I'm glad they fought and won that battle.
Mm-hmm.
I have fond memories of this film.
I saw this as an adult. I never watched it while the animated series was having its run. I watched the animated series as a kid and only became aware of this later on.
You didn't know about it?
I didn't know about it.
But you like the animated series.
I like the animated series. I do.
It's very good.
I liked it as a kid, and I'm amazed that I liked it as a kid because I find it so serious.
Yeah, that's an interesting point. Yeah, it cut above, I think, what you would have at that time.
Mm-hmm.
It was After School Fox.
Yeah. And it was that, and then X-Men followed it.
It's very, it's aesthetically complex.
Mm-hmm.
Like
you were saying with Zack Snyder being like physically dark.
Yeah.
It's physically a dark show. Like the backgrounds are almost monotone.
Right. But it's also like, it's almost like speculative fiction because it's like, it's now, but it's also the 20s and 30s.
Yeah.
Like, watching this film, I was like, okay, you look at the architecture.
Mm-hmm.
It looks like Fritz Lang's Metropolis, like the German Expressionist Metropolis.
Yeah.
But it's also got noir.
Mm-hmm.
But even noir, film noir of America in the 50s, takes a lot from German Expressionism.
Mm-hmm.
So all of these things are included. And, you know, all of the clothes that the men wear, all of the cars that people drive are like 30s and 40s
clothes. Yeah.
Yet, like, you know, the joke, some of the Joker's... technology would imply that it is contemporary.
Yeah, they have in this one, they have the World's Fair.
Yeah.
Which is very sort of either like mid-century or slightly earlier than that. Yeah, there's always a real feel that this is happening. I always feel it's happening around the time of the original like Batman serials, like in the 1940s.
Right. Even often when you see like TV footage or stuff, it's in black and white.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I don't know if even though a lot of it indicates period piece, I don't know if it does. Maybe because they feel like that would turn a kid off. It almost like is a period piece without being a period piece.
Yeah, in the way that some things are now. I'm trying to think of something that does it recently where it's like you can't really place what time period it's in. I think they do that. Or even the Joker movie, the most recent Joker movie, where it's like sort of 70s kind of.
It's 70s, but it's also 80s.
Yeah. Like you just can't put your finger on it, which I think is fine. I think it works for the aesthetics of the show.
Well, we've talked about, not you and I, but me and Anthony talked about It Follows on the podcast, and that's a horror movie.
Yeah, you can't really figure out what time it is.
You can't figure out what year it is. Mm-hmm. Like there's technology that would indicate it's in the far future.
Yeah.
But then there's things that are quite old, and that movie also doesn't, you don't know like what time of year it is. Like there'll be people swimming and the next thing they're wearing jackets. Like okay. It purposely fucks with you.
Yeah.
This is kind of like, okay, it feels like the 40s, but
it's almost like they wanted a look, but they also wanted to get away with technology that they could use. So they just combined it.
And also not be, I think, held back by any of the things that you might be held back by with a period piece.
Mm-hmm.
And let's start with Gotham, because the opening credit sequence it's actually CGI.
Mm-hmm.
although and you can tell it's CGI because it's early, it's 93,
mm-hmm.
but it doesn't stick out so much because so much of the Gotham in this is that kind of Art Deco look to it. So it's all very boxy, straight lines and stuff. So early CG kind of fits with it.
Yeah, because you can't do anything like refine detail,
right.
And it's fine. It's noticeable, but it's not terrible.
Right, and you know it begins with the shots going through Gotham.
Mm-hmm.
While you're hearing the score by Shirley Walker, which is like
who does all the music for animated series.
Yeah, but the music in this is intense. I mean, there's a chorus.
Yeah. She says apparently it's her favorite thing that she's ever composed for.
You know what? Of all the Batman music and Batman themes of all of these movies, it's probably the one that for me most is Batman. Like that's what the inside of Batman's heart sounds like.
Well, the score was done by Shirley Walker, who employed a young Hans Zimmer to play synthesizer.
Really?
For this score, who then goes on to compose for the Batman Begins, like the Bale movies, the Nolan Batman movies.
And I like his stuff, but it's all very reaction. It's not thematic, his stuff.
Mm.
Like all of the stuff in the Bale trilogy is like, it's all, reacting to what's happening in the moments.
Mm-hmm.
And I like the Danny Elfman score.
That's the Batman one for me. That song. I mean, that theme in particular. Yeah.
There's a little taste of it in the opening of
the animated series. Yeah.
But then it would go into the
It
new
goes
one.
Into that. Yes. You know what? The opening of the animated series is the real, that's the Batman theme for me, but it does employ the Elfman. So I always think
it employs this. It's just it's a less like operatic version of this. This is.
The animated series for me is like the Aristotelian like ideal of Batman.
Why so?
I don't know if it's just because it's really my first Batman, because I didn't watch the movie till after I saw the animated series.
Sure.
And
they're not really connected. There was an attempt in 92 or 93 to kind of be like, oh, Batman Returns is big and we're going to, you know, this is Warner Brothers, and they kind of used the score a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And even though the first episode isn't a Catwoman episode, they took a Catwoman episode from season one and premiered it on prime time as a way of trying to pretend that it was related to the Tim Burton stuff, but it really isn't.
It really isn't. So I think for me,
it's better.
I actually do still think of it as like this is the standard Batman and everything else deviates from it.
Sure.
Because I find this to just be a very straightforward telling of Batman. He's got all the canon stuff in it.
All the characters are there being themselves.
Everybody's there doing what they're supposed to do. It's not like a darker version necessarily. It's not like a a take on Batman. It is just Batman. And it's not like the silliness of the 60s, which I absolutely love. It's that feels like, oh, it's silly Batman. And this is dark Batman. And this is this Batman. But this one is Batman.
Right, right.
And everything else is a variation on this Batman.
It's dark enough.
It's dark enough. He's very detective-y in it.
Now where it's like,
it's grime. It's,
I am darker. No, I am darker.
Right.
Like eventually Batman... Wait, who made this joke? Was it Patrick Willems was like, it's just gonna be a black screen?
Yeah.
It's this thing of I will go darker and darker.
Yeah, I'm gonna
and
go darker. No, no, no.
And it's like,
it's dark. It's dark on its own. But Batman is dark as a character, which is great. You know, he's the Dark Knight. But I just find it refreshingly straightforward. Yes. I like that about it. You know, I've always liked that about it.
Yeah, it's not embarrassed to be Batman.
No, it's not embarrassed to have... Well, we got into the Robin discussion privately, but it has Robin. It has all these elements, and they don't feel cheesy or like they're trying too hard. It just is.
Right.
It is Batman.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I like that about it a lot.
Even though it's the 90s, it seems to be more interested in like 70s, 80s Batman, but not like Frank Miller-y. Like it doesn't seem, other than like the one episode that's
like the Dark Knight Returns.
Right. Yeah. It's not that influenced, which is weird because I feel like a lot of it now is influenced by Frank Miller.
Mm.
But his story was like a what if, not real, not part of the main
canon.
It's
old Batman.
And
it's
he's
like
crazy.
The, yeah.
Everything's super dark and everything's horrible.
Yeah.
The sky is always red, blood red in Gotham. And I love, and that's the kind of choice where it's like, when you hear it, you're like, that's crazy. How could anyone, that sounds distracting. But it's like, no, if we just decide to do it and never not do it, you will just accept it.
Yeah.
Aesthetically.
Batman should never be against the blue sky.
No.
That's what Superman's for.
Right.
We can't have him doing that.
Right.
So it works. It does work.
And even in the Superman series, because I remember listening to an audio commentary for that, they were like, at first we were like, yeah, this is Superman, so it's going to be daylight. But then we realized everything looks better at night. So even as Superman went on, it was mostly Superman.
It was mostly at night. Yeah, yeah, yeah. There's these moments, though. There's like, it does have its bright spots. Like, are they, I feel like I'm remembering it in the daytime when he's with Andrea.
Yeah.
Like,
right.
Like that's a, there becomes a bright spot in his life.
Yeah.
And so then everything else in his world is sort of brighter because of it.
It tells an interesting story because it's not an origin story.
No.
Thank goodness.
It's like a year two.
Right. It's like it's not an origin story. It's the Batman Project is happening story, but
it's in the works.
It's
development.
He almost bails on it early.
Yeah.
When he's like. Like, there's a great line where he's talking to his parents. He's like, I don't think I could do this anymore. I didn't. What does he say? It's so good. He's Batman for like a year or so. And he meets this woman, Andrea, and he falls in love with her and he's happy. And you see him in the rain in front of his parents' grave. And he's like, I know I made a promise, but I didn't see this coming. I didn't count on being happy.
Yeah.
And he's going to stop being Batman and marry her. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't work out.
Right. And Alfred seems to be really pushing him in that direction.
Yeah.
Alfred always feels like he's like, I don't want you to be Batman
ever.
This
is crazy.
This is
bananas.
Yeah.
What are we doing?
Yeah. So what are we? You're rich. Just relax. It's fine.
Yeah.
A lot of people lose their parents.
Yeah. Get over it.
Just get the fuck over it already. Yeah. And it is the tension in the movie, besides the villains, it is Batman's choice whether he wants to continue being Batman, because he's really not far enough in it yet to have a lot of trouble coming out of it. It's almost like we could still save him, like he could still not be Batman.
Yeah, you know what, now that I think about it, it's not at all a similar story, but it's Batman is in a similar place, at least in the flashbacks. Batman's in a similar place as he is in the new The Batman.
Okay.
Like a year two story.
Right, because it's told
early,
with a lot
but
of
not
flashbacks.
The beginning, basically.
So we're coming to him when he's already been Batman for quite some time. But we're seeing a lot of early days Batman when he meets this woman and falls in love. And now this story is about her coming back to town while he's also investigating who keeps killing these mob bosses.
Which is the Phantasm.
The Phantasm, which is cool. It's a cool villain. It looks like the Grim Reaper.
Yeah.
With like a hook hand, like a claw.
Yeah.
But it's also like a very long dark cape, so people keep thinking it's Batman.
Right. There's fog wherever it goes. It kind of throws its voice a little bit, which reminded me of the radio character, the Spirit.
Oh, okay.
Not
yeah,
the
yeah.
spirit, the shadow.
Oh, the shadow. Okay.
Right? I always confuse those two. Mm. The one that Orson Welles played, I think it's the shadow. Andrea's father mm-hmm. is voiced by Stacy Keach.
Yes.
And I didn't realize this, but Stacy Keach
is the Phantasm.
Also is a Phantasm.
Yeah.
Okay. Having seen this as a kid, I saw it in the theater.
Mm-hmm. I never put that together.
Well, I was asking myself, like, am I supposed to not know that Andrea's the Phantasm?
Yeah.
Like, that's supposed to be a surprise, but it seems so obvious. But
it
then I'm like,
well,
maybe it's just because I
yeah.
know it.
Like, as an adult.
But then when I saw that Stacy Keach is the Phantasm, I'm like, oh, they're trying to make me think it's
the
father.
Dad, yeah.
They're
I never hard. Once thought it was the dad.
No.
Yeah.
But the dad is missing.
Yeah.
So you're like, okay, I guess that's what they're trying to, he's the red herring of it. Mm-hmm. But then you find out he's dead.
Yeah.
He was killed.
Right. And so in retribution, she's come back to town.
Right.
And she's
killing mobsters.
She's
it's
killing
a mobster
mobsters.
Story too,
yeah.
which is interesting. Again, we talked about this last week. Like, I like Batman being about crime and mobsters. And mm-hmm.
Right.
And,
because that's his initial creation is not because of supervillains. It's right. because of the mob.
And this movie has a great cadre of old character actors yeah. playing gangsters. You've got Stacy Keach. You've got Abe Vigoda. Salvatore Valestra.
He's great.
Dick Miller as Chucky Saul. Oh God.
I'm sorry you had to see this, Miss Beaumont. It's like a lot of voices like that.
Yeah, it's great. It's
great.
It's so great. And then the Joker comes into it. How did you feel now, watching it now,
mm-hmm.
about the Joker's
Involvement. I kind of felt like they shoehorned him in. Like he didn't really belong there. Yeah. I appreciate him. I always appreciate Mark Hamill. But I'm sort of like, what? The Joker was their driver, their hitman? Like, what? What backstory is this? I know he always has dealings with the crime lords.
Yeah.
But for him to be like the go-to hitman.
Yeah.
Felt kind of weird. Batman looking at the picture of the crime lord sitting at the table and then seeing, like, drawing a crazy smiley face on the Joker and be like, oh, it's the Joker. I knew
Motherfucker. But you know what? There's a scene with the Joker earlier than that. Mm-hmm. Like, the first time you see the Joker in the film, in this film, by the way, he lives in the broken down World's Fair, which is brilliant.
It's very Killing Joke-esque towards the end.
But Salvatore, the old mobster who's like an old, he's got his own oxygen now, like old mobster, he's afraid for his life. So he goes to see the Joker. So that's the first time you see the Joker.
Yeah.
But I was thinking
that's a great scene.
Yeah,
that
but that shouldn't
great,
be there.
Yeah.
When Batman draws the red lipstick on the character, on the guy, and realizes it's a Joker, that should be the reveal.
Yeah.
Right? And then he should come into the movie.
Yeah.
It feels like you ruined the surprise.
Yeah, because we're ahead of Batman. We should never be ahead of Batman.
Right, exactly. We're not the greatest detective.
Yeah. That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that's a great scene where it's like, you used to work for me and now you're like the guy. Like, you're the supervillain and now I'm coming to you because I'm afraid.
And I'm
going
to give you $1 million to kill Batman.
Yeah. And I just like the unpredictability, you know, because you can never rely on the Joker's response to anything. Like, he could kill you in an instant. Like, he's there. He's like, hey, my old pal.
And he does,
like,
kill him.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes, that's right. He does decide to kill him. Yeah. He's just like, well, I don't care.
Yeah.
I'm just going to kill you.
And all the stuff of him living, he's living in, it's very also, it's World's Fair, but it's also very like Epcot. He's living in the House of the Future.
Yes.
He's got a robot dog and he's got a robot wife that he clearly is fucking. And,
Hazel.
Yeah, he pinches her cheek and then the skin comes off.
Yeah, he's always like, ooh.
And then he keeps it though. He puts it in his pocket like he, fuck, God, that's so weird.
He loves Hazel.
He kicks the dog and he's like, welcome to my house. Like,
it's
so
crazy.
Weird.
It's crazy.
Yeah. And
what's for dinner?
Yeah, like he's got this whole mad world.
It's wild.
Yeah, and he's like, killed Batman for me. And he's like, no, I'll just kill you. But I also just
want to find out what's going on.
Yeah.
Because I'm curious.
Yeah.
And I'm chaotic.
Right.
So
he's like,
don't
you think they're gonna get to you soon? And he's like, oh, I don't care.
Nah, they're not.
Yeah.
If they do, I don't care.
It's interesting because it kind of takes a nod from the movies in that he was a gangster. Because that's not always his story.
Mm-hmm.
But it is interesting.
What is the accepted canon now? I mean, there's no real canon, right? But, like, it was that he was this failing comedian who does a job for the mob. and is like the scapegoat sort of.
I honestly
and then
don't
he like
know.
Falls in the vat.
Yeah, I honestly don't know currently like what his accepted canon is.
Yeah. Mm. Canon's always changing, right? There's no such thing.
And the power of Joker is when
we never really know.
Right, exactly. Yeah. That's why I loved Heath Ledger's Joker.
Yeah.
Would tell different origin stories.
Yeah.
I always thought that was such a smart part of that movie.
Yes. Yeah. You never know what's real.
Yeah. I remember watching that when he first tells the first story. I'm like, oh, that sucks.
Yeah.
But then when he tells another one, I'm like, oh, cool. He's just making shit up.
Yeah.
This is so much better.
It's very on brand. It feels right.
Yeah. But in this, yeah, he was like a low level driver guy.
Yeah.
So it is a complex kind of mystery plot, right? Because I was thinking, like, as a kid, did I really know what was going on?
Oh, definitely not. I definitely didn't. Well, I mean, I didn't know. I didn't know most of the stuff that was happening in the animated series. I didn't see this as a child, but, like, I would never have known.
Yeah, I mean, the plot is Andrea Beaumont is the one he falls in love with, this plucky young woman. And her father is a legitimate businessman who gets involved with the mob.
Mm-hmm.
And then he owes them something.
He owes them money, I think.
He can't pay
them
back.
Yeah.
So they run.
Mm-hmm.
And she has to go with him, which is what breaks Batman's heart. Mm-hmm. And he decides he's got to be Batman, which is the fucking best scene in the movie. When he is like, his heart is broken.
Mm-hmm.
And then you just see him in the cave and he puts the cowl on and he turns around and Alfred looks scared of him. And you hear the fucking music. It's like, this is so badass.
Yeah.
He just totally embraces the fucking darkness. And
well, when he finds out that she's left.
Yeah.
Alfred comes with the ring.
Yeah.
She returns it. And he's climbing through the cave. Like he's like spelunking in the bat cave. And he comes out and then he goes like right back in.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like, okay, well, I guess we're just going to do this instead.
Yeah. I'm going to be like, now the choice is made. Like, now I'm.
Yeah.
It's interesting. Batman Forever does that. There's a lot of Batman narratives wherein the arc of the character is maybe I cannot be Batman and then reasserting, no, I've got to be Batman.
Yeah, yeah. And there, I feel like they always tease, like, maybe just one good woman.
Yeah.
One good woman will bring him back.
That's what this movie teased.
Mm-hmm.
See, with the Joker coming in, it takes the heat off of Phantom being the villain.
Mm-hmm.
And then it becomes about the Joker being the villain. And then she kind of, she sacrifices herself, although we then see that she's alive.
Yeah.
But it kind of feels, I don't know. I don't know if I like the ending.
I felt like that was a weakness. Like she should have actually died.
She should have actually died. But I don't, even that I feel like.
Because everyone survives. It's like this cataclysmic ending, but everyone's alive. Like the Joker survives, Batman survives, she survives.
Something different about the film from the animated series is that there's bleeding in this. There's a scene where Batman kicks a tooth out of the Joker's mouth. And that scene where they're at the World's Fair, but now it's all broken down and rusty, which itself is such a metaphor rife with meaning.
Mm-hmm.
And it looks like a kaiju movie because it's like
they have a Godzilla fight
like
in the city.
Yeah, because they're awesome. It's this tiny model of Gotham, but
Batman and Joker are huge and they're fighting over the city.
And Joker sucker punches him with like the Empire State Building. But yeah, and they're fighting and
it's
they're
so
knocking
good.
Down things.
I completely forgot about that. Yeah. I was like, holy shit, they're having a monster battle.
And Batman kicks a tooth out of the Joker's mouth.
Joker also has a moment of like real clarity.
Yeah.
Like at the end of that scene when he's flying away with like his jetpack and Batman's like holding him and like the whole place is exploding.
Yeah.
And he's like, what are you doing? We're both going to die.
Yeah.
Just let me go.
Yeah. Yeah.
And Batman's like, this has got to end. And Joker's like, oh, no.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's responding like a rational human for once in his life.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's great. It's great. It's all that stuff with the Joker stuff is good. It's.
Hold on. Because Joker figures it out immediately, like who this chick is, like who the Phantasm is. And when Phantasm comes to kill him, he's like, are we doing this for real? Like, just take off your outfit. Like, I know who you are.
Yeah.
And then, so he and Andrea fight, like physically fight. And he like kicks a woman in the belly and like really just beats her. And then he beats her with a bologna.
Yeah, he does.
He grabs a huge stick bologna and starts beating her with it. And I'm like, this is amazing.
No, it's great. There's not a sex scene, but there's a...
There's an implied sex scene.
There's a 50s style noir cut to a curtain.
A curtain drifting in the breeze.
And then when we cut back,
it's the morning.
Clearly they've had sex.
Yeah. And she's like wearing a shirt.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's like, oh wow.
And he's shirtless.
There's sex in this.
Yeah.
Batman fucks in this.
Yeah.
And I love Batman's bedroom. He's got that cool, like abstract, almost like cubist kind of painting yeah. over his bed. And it's very, 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 I mean, you could just
it's
gaze
very stark
at,
always. Yeah. Batman yeah, yeah. surroundings.
Yeah. It's beautiful though. You can get, you just watch it with the sound off and be like, wow, this is such a vibe, as the kids would say. It's like the aesthetic is so, so strong, mm-hmm. but not, it's so strong, but it's also, it's not all that it is, like Zack Snyder. It's not just aesthetic. It mm. like, it's aesthetic with good writing and good story.
Mm. There's also the whole subplot with the DA.
Yes. Yeah.
Arthur Reeve.
Yes.
He works for Andrea's dad.
And he's trying to woo her.
Right. He's into her. And then Andrea's dad takes off. He runs for political office, Arthur Reeve, and then asks him for money. He doesn't come through. So then he sells him out to the mob.
Right. He's the one that basically gets the father killed because yeah. he tells them where they are, where right. they're hiding.
And I feel like Andrea never realizes that.
Yeah.
She doesn't come after him.
No.
She's like dating him kind of.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I thought, oh, having seen it now for the second time, I was like, oh, she's going to go after him because like, but she never does. No. The Joker figures
the
it
Joker
out.
The Joker gets him.
Yeah.
That scene's great, by the way, yeah. where he's like, the Joker has infected him with whatever the
like
thing
Joker
that makes
toxin,
him laugh.
Yeah.
So he's in a hospital bed, like tied to the bed.
And crying. That's always so disturbing to me that they're crying yeah. so hard.
And then Batman comes in and interrogates him. And like, it's such a great scene.
It's
like,
more and more upsetting. So he's laughing
he's
harder
laughing,
and harder.
But he's also crying. And like, Batman's like, oh, wait, the best thing is he sees Batman in the window and he goes,
oh no.
Oh no.
Funny, it's funny and
it's
terrifying.
So good.
It's
yeah.
like you're in his shoes, right, in that yeah. moment, and you're like, I can't do anything but laugh. Yeah. This is horrifying.
Oh man, Batman's come for me.
Yeah, it's a good performance. It's a good yeah. voice performance.
I realized something having watched this the same week that I saw the new Batman, mm-hmm. and this is a mild spoiler for the Batman. Every good Batman story needs a scene where he's running from the police. There needs to be a moment where the police are like, fuck this guy and
yeah.
turn on him.
Yeah.
And he's got to run from them.
Yeah.
And that's in this.
This is a very close
and it's
call.
Bullock.
It's always Bullock,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
It's a very, very close call for Batman. I was like, whoa, he got very, very close to being caught. He's like an alley
yeah.
away from
yeah.
being caught.
His mask
is
off.
He's unmasked. He's running from the cops. Andrea shows
right.
up in a car and is like, get in.
Yeah.
Of course she knows where he is because he was just chasing her.
Right. You're right, exactly. And she kind of... I'm not sure when exactly, it's not clear to me when exactly she knows it, but she knows he's Batman.
Mm-hmm.
I guess does she know when she comes back? Like, when exactly does she figure out that he's Batman? Or did she always know?
I think
know?
She knew
did
it
she
from
know even
early
back
on.
Then?
Yeah. Yes. I think so. Because remember when that guy is like being robbed or about to be robbed and he's like, I can't just stand by and do nothing. She's like, all right, just come back to me in one piece.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. Letting someone out in the world, knowing it.
I know. Yeah. She also reminds me of like Talia al Ghul, kind of, where she has these connections. She's in Europe for a long,
yeah.
long time, and she can handle herself because she went to Miss Hovey's
her
school
father
for self defense.
A figure of darkness.
Yeah, and... her father's like embedded with, the criminal underworld. She's like a one of the lost loves of Bruce Wayne.
Let us discuss Batman's love life.
Yeah,
love
he
interest.
Has a lot of sex, but like no. real relationship.
Nice.
You know.
No. It's interesting because, like you said about one good woman, often any female figure is presented as like something that could save him.
Yeah.
Except Catwoman. Because she could make
just
him
like
worse.
Him. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
She could be like, well, come just be like me.
Just, cool. Yeah, yeah.
Why not kill people?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. She's, well, I always say, because she's the best of the villains, but the worst of the heroes.
Yeah.
She's too alike. They're too similar
yeah.
to each other.
But she doesn't have that moral code that holds him back.
No.
She's all for
yeah. But he's lousy with
revenge.
Kids. He's got a kid with her. He's got a kid with Talia al Ghul. He's got a kid with, like, he does not wear a condom.
Yeah. Oh, no.
Certainly
yeah, that's
not.
The one protection he doesn't care
no,
about.
No. He's, like, in full Batman outfit, except...
Do you remember a couple years ago there was a Batman comic where you saw his dick in silhouette?
Yes.
And like people went crazy. But
was it the same one where it was like, I'm the goddamn Batman? Was
I don't
it that
remember.
One?
I remember it sold out.
Yeah, everyone wants
no
to see
one,
it.
No one, you couldn't find
That's
it.
That's the only place
and
it doesn't
they,
wear rubber.
They did a second print without it.
Yes.
Which is like, let Batman have a dick. Come on. He's got that. It's got to be big. That big dick energy. He's Batman.
He actually has small dick energy.
I think so?
I think he has small dick energy. Nah. I'm not saying he has a small dick, but he does small have dick small energy. Dick energy. Yeah.
Well, do all superheroes have small dick energy?
No. The tryhards do. He's a tryhard.
But isn't being a superhero the very definition of a tryhard?
So I think, I'm trying to think of a good example of like a superhero who's not a tryhard. Oh, I mean, I don't think
Thor definitely has a big dick.
Thor has big dick energy. Definitely. That's a great one. That is a great one.
Right.
Yeah.
But he's only a superhero because Marvel called him that. He's a god.
Because he doesn't have to try hard. That's it. He doesn't have to try hard. He just exists and he's special. He's wonderful.
Yeah. Trying to think about Andrea as a character.
I don't know that she's much of a character.
I was thinking like they're not characters usually. Yeah. You think about like Vicky Vale.
Right. Well, there's like the Vicky Vale type, right?
Right.
Who's like the journalist, and they flesh her out in the Keaton movie, but usually Vicky Vale is like a Lois. Well, she's not really a Lois Lane. She's like, they kind of want her to be a Lois Lane.
Right. Vicky Vale was a minor character in the comics.
Yeah, they always have like in the Clooney's and the right. Like they always have like a model on his arm.
Right.
Well, it seems like Bruce Wayne has paramours, but he never has like a real.
Which one is the one that has is it Batman Forever that has Nicole Kidman?
Yes, Batman Forever.
And she's like a psychiatrist. She's a psychologist. Yeah,
psychiatrist. Either one, I'm not sure.
Yeah. God, she's barely in that though.
Right.
Yeah. They're really never a character in a sense. Except for Catwoman is a character.
Catwoman's the only one because Catwoman kind of because almost every woman meets him as Bruce,
right?
Which and is Catwoman not really who meets he is. Him as Batman,
right?
And so in that way, like she knows the real him,
yeah.
And they don't, and they're always their narrative. I feel like every woman in his life, the narrative is always like, if you only let me in,
yeah.
Whereas Catwoman, he kind of wants that with her.
Yeah.
I think that's why that's his real counterpart.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Did you like Catwoman in Dark Knight Rises?
I did. That's like one of the only things I like about that movie. I'm not a big fan of that one, but I like her.
She's good in it.
I think she's good in it.
I really like Zoe Kravitz in the new movie.
Mm-hmm.
I was thinking about this and, reach out to us if you could think of another character. Can you think of another character that is, like people complain like about diversity, like, oh, you made the Ghostbusters women or, oh, you made this character black. Catwoman is half the time white, half the time black.
Yeah.
She's half the time a cat burglar, half the time a sex worker. She's half the time gay or bi, half the time straight. Mm-hmm. Like, she's everything all at once.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you can never complain, like, oh, they made Catwoman black. It's like...
She's got nine lives,
she's
baby.
She's black half of the time. The kid was black. Chimera is black.
Right from day one. Right. I mean, practically, she's been black. It's always been transgressive, which is wonderful.
Zoe Kravitz is bi, and also... and Hathaway's character was presented as bi.
Mm.
So, it's really interesting how that character... The malleability of that character.
Mm-hmm. I mean, Halle Berry's character is black. Yeah. I mean, it's like an atrocious movie, but it's still, she's the black Catwoman.
Yeah.
Which probably would have been considered groundbreaking at the time, but it wasn't because of Eartha Kitt.
Right, exactly. Like, you can't complain about
the diversity. And I love Halle Berry, despite that movie. I love it.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, I don't love the movie. I've actually seen the movie.
I've seen it, too.
It's full of capoeira.
What?
Capoeira. There was, like, a whole featurette on HBO when the movie came out, and it was like, this is Brazilian jiu-jitsu, and we're, like, breakdance fighting.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, they tried.
It was a thing. Sharon Stone's in it.
That movie went through a weird process of, like, hell, like, because it was supposed to be a Michelle Pfeiffer vehicle,
really,
and then it just spent years being rewritten and rewritten and rewritten and rewritten and recast and reproduced, and then eventually it just went through Hollywood hell and then finally came out as what it was,
yeah,
which was like no one was happy with it.
No one, yeah,
yeah.
I have not having seen the new one, I think Michelle Pfeiffer is still my favorite Catwoman. Because she was like incorporating a lot from the original series. Like she does the Lee Merriweather like licking herself clean thing. It was just like crazy, like fetish wear.
Yeah.
Like it was.
Well, no, it
she like licks Batman's face and I did not know what to do with myself.
Me sitting in a movie theater as a child going, I hope this doesn't awaken anything.
I was like, I have to pee really bad all of a sudden.
I love that Catwoman and I love the design of that Catwoman.
Mm-hmm.
Although I would say that's not as much, but similar to the Penguin it's a Tim Burton version of the Catwoman. Mm. Like, no other Catwoman is that crazy.
She's unhinged. She's totally unhinged.
Right. Catwoman, yeah. I like when Catwoman is an actual, like, a put-together, like, career person. Like, I will rob you, and I know how to rob you, and if I get in a bind, I will charm my way out of it, and then I'll stab you in the back. You know, I
you can never trust me.
Yeah, yeah. I like a good Catwoman sneaking in a window and like breaking in a
getting
safe.
Getting some jewels, yeah.
Which is not what Michelle Pfeiffer's Catwoman can do.
No, she's out for vengeance. Yeah. She's like out to kill Max Schreck and like save the women of Gotham, which I like. Oh, I love that.
No, I like Batman Returns, but it's really out there.
Yeah, it's a Burton fest for sure. And the animated series, which is sort of almost happening like concurrently, is the Adrienne Barbeau Catwoman. Again, standard Catwoman for me. Like, that's...
Yeah.
I even love that character. The costume is almost like the most gray. Simplest...
Yeah,
it's costume
sleek
they have.
And perfect.
It's just gray and then black accents. I love it.
Yeah,
it's and you perfect. Never see it. Like, you never see people doing cosplay as the gray.
No, you don't.
I love that one.
You don't. In the new movie... It, you know, they actually do a lot of things similar to The Dark Knight Rises. Mm-hmm. In The Dark Knight Rises, she wears like black mostly, but she has goggles, and when she puts the goggles
they
off,
look like
they
cat
look like
ears.
Ears. In the new film, she wears what do they call it? A balaclava?
Like a ski mask.
Yeah, the masks with the eyes open, but like it's just the way it's sewn, there are like two little ears.
Yeah, that's cute. That's very cute.
Yeah.
I like when they try to make the costumes work.
Yeah.
But again, it's sort of like we're embarrassed to be a superhero movie. People wear costumes.
Yeah.
Like, you can't get away with... See, the thing about these movies, and not that they're bad in any way, like, I don't want to hate on any of this stuff because I love it all. I really do. And I think it's clever and you're trying to make it work, but no one ever really tries to make the fact that he dresses as a bat work. Like, the Bale movies, they were like, oh, he's in tactical armor. That's why his suit is so big.
Right.
But they still had bat ears. You know, like, they never try to make it anything other than it is. Like, he's the one character they can't get around. Like, they have to make him a bat. Because otherwise, what are we doing here?
Right. And in the new film, which I know you haven't seen, sorry to harp on it. you know, I said this in the last episode, they lean into how weird it is.
Yeah.
You know, they're
right, like the cops are freaked out by him.
Like, there are scenes where he's just there. And, like, he's in a room full of people not dressed like him.
Yeah.
And it's like, fuck, what? You're dressed like a bat right now.
You can see yourself, right? Like,
bro.
What about this is normal to you?
Yeah.
Just wondering.
This is very weird. This is all very, very weird. Yeah. There's not too much of that in the new Batman movie, the we don't want to be a superhero movie. Mm. I don't know. And you know, now that I think about it, do they say Catwoman? They say Riddler. They say Penguin a lot. Mm-hmm. But I don't know if they say Catwoman. Maybe just cat. I don't know.
Mm.
In The Dark Knight Rises, they never say it. Just there's one, like, you see a newspaper that says the cat.
It's like the cat burglar or the cat. Yeah.
Right. Yeah, they were always, other than Joker, they were always, like, afraid to just come out and call people what they are.
Mm.
Outside of this movie, in the animated series, what were some of the villains you liked? Because I feel like they did the villains very differently.
I'm full. Big time Harley Quinn fan, like forever and
they
ever.
They created Harley Quinn.
They created it.
That's
a
probably
creation.
Yeah, that's probably one of the biggest main canon things that came from the animated series. Is they created that character.
I have a Harley Quinn tattoo from like back in the day.
Where is it?
It's on my ankle.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, what version of Harley Quinn is it?
It's the animated series one. It's actually not even like very obviously a Harley Quinn tattoo. It's a heart. And like half is red, half is black. And then inside the other half is red and the other half is black. And it was like part of her logo for a while for, I don't know if it was DC Girls or if it was from the animated series, but it's actually from something from like a piece of merchandise from like back in the day.
Yeah.
When she was really only appearing in the animated series. Yeah. Like, I love that original costume. They tease it a little bit for the, was it DC Universe? The new Harley Quinn show with Kaylee Cuoco as Harley Quinn.
I adore. Really? Like two episodes.
Love it. And it's its own kind of thing. I don't know that it's going to come back, and it doesn't have to. It ended really beautifully.
I want to watch that.
It's great. And
do you like the Margot Robbie version?
I like her. Yeah. I really not like disliked an iteration of Harley Quinn. I like them all. I genuinely do. I think Harley Quinn's great. I mean, Margot Robbie, see? I think Margot Robbie's great as Harley Quinn.
I like the version in the Arkham video games where she wears like leather coat and like beats people up with bats.
Yeah. Yeah, it's funny because like she's become so huge in recent years. Yeah. I have to say, honestly, I don't feel like I have ownership of her. Like I've never felt like, you know, oh, I liked it before it was cool kind of thing because it feels so different than the one I liked, you know?
Yeah.
And I like this one too, but it's like, oh, the daddy's little monster version that like everyone dressed up as for Halloween is that's not my Harley Quinn.
Right.
But I like it anyway. Right. It's a cool thing.
Right. There is a scene. Is it in the Harley Quinn? I think it's in the Harley Quinn Birds of Prey movie where there's a flashback where she, in the flashback, she's wearing like the Harley Quinn, like the
outfit,
like the way we first saw her.
Yeah.
Because now it's just outfit. Like, she's just like,
she just wears whatever.
She's just like a suicide girl. She's just like.
She's got the hair. She's tatted out.
Yeah.
The Arkham games are where she had all the tattoos also, right? Yeah.
And that's continued, I think. The Birds of Prey movie was really good if you haven't seen that.
I haven't seen that one. I've seen the two Suicide Squads.
Okay, she's great in the second Suicide Squad.
Yeah, she's great in the first one too. I mean, that movie's not good.
So I can't speak to it.
It's not a good movie, but she's a very good part of it.
Yeah, I like everything they do with her in the second one though. That whole weird story with her, the love story, and there's a good scene in the Birds of Prey movie where somebody calls her like a fucking idiot, and she like jumps on his, he's got his legs up, she jumps on his leg and like snaps his femur, and she's like, I got a PhD.
Yeah. I love that. I love that they always bring that back, that she's was a doctor,
right? She's really grown as a character because she's no longer like the Joker's girlfriend and the Joker's victim. Like she's evolved to be this own thing on her own,
right? Well, she has that thing. Is it in the most recent Suicide? No, it's not. It's in the Harley Quinn animated series where she has this thing where she's like, you know, forever I hated Joker for what he did to me.
Yeah.
But she's like, but really what I needed to face was that I chose it. Like at some point, I have to take ownership of the fact that this is also something I wanted.
Right.
And so she's like, she like takes ownership of the fact that she turned into Harley Quinn, because like in her origin story she also falls into a vat, right? Like makes her crazy. They're always falling
into vats.
That's
what happens when you fall into vats, you know? Of chemicals
always. It's like one of the things from Family Guy that I always loved when Adam West our Batman like runs around in toxic garbage to become a superhero, and they're like, you have lymphoma. Like, you can't just do this. Harley Quinn is a great character because it is so open to development, right? When you consider her backstory,
she's
like,
still growing. She's so new compared to
all the other ones.
All the other ones.
She's a 90s creation. Right. Everybody
really
else is from
like the
40s.
Second phase of her, or third phase of her.
Yeah.
She can go really far now.
The tragedy of her backstory is one where you can really go in a lot of different directions. Yeah. So I've always, always loved Harley Quinn. Who else do I like? Animated series.
Well, I really see
Two-Face. I'm always a Two-Face fan. I really like
Really?
Two-Face. Yeah. I like the backstory, the Harvey Dent. Like, he was a good guy.
I really like the Mad Hatter in the animated series. I feel like outside of the animated series, he's not used that often. Really.
No, he was in
He's so good in the animated series.
Well, he's in Long Halloween.
Yeah, yeah.
He's in a great episode of the animated series called Almost Got Him.
Oh yeah.
Where they all it's just a poker game. Yeah. All the villains are playing, and they're each just telling stories about how they almost got the Batman. Yeah. And then of course Batman's there.
Is it he's dressed as Croc or whatever?
Yeah, he's dressed as one of the, I can't remember who, but that's a great episode. Been in the card game the whole time. Yeah. Which is great.
Yeah, that's
it's
fantastic.
It's one of the best episodes of the whole series.
I love the one where he puts him in like the Matrix, or he puts him in like a dream.
He's
not Batman in it or something.
Yeah,
and like he has to figure out that it's a dream.
Okay.
Also, the who's the guy? I don't even remember his name. Who has the ventriloquist dummy?
Oh,
and he's like a very like he's not violent, but the dummy is.
They're very theatrical villains.
Yeah.
Like, as far as a rogues gallery, I think Batman has the best villains of any superhero. I'm going to go out there and say.
Absolutely, for sure.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Oh, man. I mean, let's see. You have the, like, mental villains, and then you have the physical villains. So you have, like, Bane and Croc and Solomon Grundy and Clayface and, like, these things that, like, pose a real physical threat to Batman. Yeah. And then you have the ones who like to play mind games and the Riddler.
Yeah.
Joker to a lesser extent, but, like, he's always manipulating Batman. And then you have the Mad Hatter also, Calendar Man. You have, like, all these sort of, they're not, like, physically threatening, but they can outsmart him.
Yeah.
And so you have like the two elements of his like crime fighting ability, like the fact that he can physically fight and that he's super, super smart. Because Batman, I think, is actually one of the smarter heroes out there. But I feel like too much in recent years, we've been focused on his tech and focused on his fighting ability and really not his, because he's a detective, Detective Comics, right? Like that's what this is all about. The world's greatest detective. That's something I love about the animated series and something I like about this is he's solving a mystery.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, you know, one of the things that was in the Patrick Willems Robin video is he was always supposed to be like the Sherlock Holmes of superheroes.
Yeah.
And Robin was created to be his Watson. So he could like talk to somebody and like talk through a mystery, talk through solving a crime.
Let's talk about that a little bit. Let's respond to that a little bit. So the video essayist, Patrick H. Willems, did a essay that just came out about Robin. And he basically, he's a big comic book guy. And he kind of is like, why don't they ever do Robin?
Mm-hmm.
The last time they tried Robin in live action was the Joel Schumacher movies. And no one else has done Robin. People make fun of Robin. You know, why don't they do it? How could you do it? What's a way to do it? He kind of makes the point that if you do it right, you could create great stakes for Batman.
Mm-hmm.
And you could also expand Batman. Batman can grow as someone who cares about someone else.
Right. Like you make him a father. He has to grow up.
Right.
It's sort of like the tension in this movie where he has to choose to like not be Batman anymore.
Yeah.
But then the points that he brings up as to like why Robin was created was partially to be a Watson, and the other part was just because it was a major kid audience of comics, and you wanted to be the sidekick. Like, I want to go on adventures with Batman, so I'm going to be a child and go with Batman, which like, logically, why would you ever bring a child into that situation?
Right.
It's so dangerous.
Which is one of the reasons why I think they don't do it.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, Batman is very silly, but you can make it work, but somehow that breaks it.
Yeah, the second you have a kid running around with him, it doesn't make sense anymore.
Right.
Yeah. So it's a challenge.
The Dark Knight kind of just tries to do Nightwing without doing Robin. They kind of just like...
Oh, they like introduce the John Blake character.
Yeah.
Which is weird. Like, why not... Well, I
why
guess
not
they
call
just...
him Dick Grayson or something? Or,
he's like, this weird amalgam. It's John Blake, so why not call him Tim Drake? Like, it's almost Tim Drake.
Right.
But I guess it's because,
it
like
they specifically
if
didn't
they
want
had
him to
Drake on
Robin.
A name tag, people would be like, oh shit, it's Robin. Right? Like, comic book fans know who that is.
Right.
So I guess Blake was close enough without being it. Weird.
Is Drake the one that got killed?
Drake is the one. Oh, no. Jason Todd got killed. Yeah.
And then in the Snyderverse.
Drake is the one in Return of the Joker who gets like.
Yes. In the Snyderverse, Ben Affleck's Batman had
Robin,
but he got killed. So it's like
dead.
the Jason Todd one.
Well, I don't know if it's supposed to be, but it is like
it's like
storyline.
He was such a hated character that people, the DC was like, vote in, write in. Do you want him to live or die? And everyone was like, kill him, let him die.
Well, that was the death in the family, right? Yeah, that was a big deal. I thought they were teasing. Anytime a child is present in a Batman movie, you're like, is this going to be Robin? Yeah. So Patrick Willems talks about it in the new one, which I haven't seen, but there's like a kid that he looks at.
Yeah, there's a kid
and
that
then it's
could
like,
be
oh,
Robin.
Could that be Robin? No, probably not. He's like, don't make this a broom boy situation.
Yeah.
But I'm guilty of that in the Bale Nolan movies with the Jack Gleason character. Jack Gleason, I don't know if you watched Game of Thrones. He's like one of the stars of Game of Thrones, but he's a child in these movies, the little blonde street urchin who talks to Batman once on like a fire escape. But you see him throughout
is that
the movie.
That Batman gives like the grappling hook.
Yeah,
to?
He gives him something, and I'm like, oh, is this gonna be like a Robin origin where he's they kind of focus on him a little bit throughout the movie.
Well, do you agree with Patrick H. Willems? Do you think they should do a Robin? Do you think they can do a Robin?
I absolutely do. Yeah. We discussed this because you were like, I don't think it will ever work.
Yeah, I don't.
I think you could tweak it. I think you can't have him come. If you want it, it depends on the tenor of the movie, right? Like, what kind of movie do you want to make? But if you want to make something in the vein of the movies they've been doing, which is like more serious, more grounded in reality, you cannot have a child running around with him. It's not going to work. But he says maybe bring him in when he's like 17, 18. But then you have to solve the problem of like, why would this kid be a ward when he's like almost an adult, or he is an adult, which was the problem of the Schumacher movies, because you have like a grown ass man coming to live with you. Like, why?
Right.
Go to your apartment, like where you live.
Yeah, you have to get over the hurdle of why would a you know what it is? For Robin to work, the violence has to be have less stakes.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you have to get over the hurdle of why would Batman allow a little kid to be in this much danger?
Yeah.
And you think about the violence in modern Batman, you like, how would he allow a child to be a part of that?
Right. Yeah. There's a couple things to get around, right? So like, the Schumacher movies completely toned down his costume. They basically made it a second Batman costume.
Yeah.
Except he just didn't have a cowl. He had a mask.
Right.
So there's like the brightness of the costume.
Yeah, that's a problem.
Yeah, especially if you're like going darker and darker with the right. color scheme.
And he's just like, I'm green and yellow.
Yeah, but like my legs are out. My little legs, you can see them.
Yeah.
It's weird. So there's a lot of problems to get around. But like I was saying to you, I'm like, these people get paid millions of dollars. You
figure
can't
it out.
Think this through. Like, figure it out.
Well, I think that they could, mm-hmm. but I think the reason no one wants to mm-hmm. is one, the Joel Schumacher movie is so reviled, but also I think Robin is so tied into the 60s show that they don't want, they feel like. Mm.
And the cartoons.
Yeah, and they feel like, no, we can't.
It's like, oh, this is a Teen Titans thing.
Yeah, yeah.
But which is the one that was like the famous for, it's recent, in the trailer, he's like, fuck Batman.
That's the tight, that was season one of.
It's just Titans, right?
Yeah, but it's Teen Titans.
It's Robin, though.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't think you should go that route either necessarily.
Right. But he's more, he's Nightwing.
He's Nightwing at that point.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think it's like, I maybe think to work without doing Robin erasure, you kind of have to go straight to Robin or straight to Nightwing or like pre-Nightwing. So like he's adopted as a kid. He's not allowed on adventures because Batman's not a psychopath.
Yeah.
But he is adopted as a child. And then I was telling you, I'm like, send him away. Like he has to go to boarding school. It completely breaks his heart because he wants to join Batman on his adventures. But Batman's like, I'm not going to put you in that kind of danger. You're the first family I've had in my life.
Right.
Sorry, Alfred. I don't care about you. You're going away because I love you.
Yeah.
And when you come back, you'll be like 17, 18 years old and we'll discuss it. Or like, we'll talk about it.
About you maybe being a superhero.
Maybe helping me out. I don't know.
It's hard.
Yeah. It's a tough one.
I mean, to do it in one movie, mm-hmm. you could kind of do what Schumacher did, which is have him be Robin against Batman's wishes. Just kind of go out there and do it.
And do it. Yeah. Yeah, I could see that happening. I don't see it happening in one movie where he's like, he adopts him as a child and then we see like 20 years later.
Yeah, I think it works better in a serialized thing. Yeah, I don't know. The character that people think could be Robin in The Batman, I don't think it will be Robin.
Well,
especially it's a real little kid. So it's like, how do you do it?
I never really watched the series Gotham.
I did.
Okay.
Well, no, that's not true. I watched like the first three seasons or two seasons.
But like Catwoman and Bruce Wayne are both children.
Yeah.
How do they handle that? Because that could be a way of getting
a like
kid.
A little street urchin. She's a little rambunctious. And even the person who plays Catwoman is like, they found her from like America's Got Talent. She was like a little like breakdancer kid.
Okay.
And they were like, you'd be perfect for this.
Mm-hmm.
She's like a little orphan kid.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, that show, although dark, the reality of that show is like, that show married darkness with the bananasness of like the 60s show. Like that show is bananas.
I know Carol Kane's in it for a hot minute.
It was, yeah, I think she's
it's like Penguin's mom.
She's Penguin's mom. Yeah, the Penguin in that's really good. That show started off really good and then just kind of got worse and worse and worse. I did like the first couple seasons. But that's the thing. There's no guardian for Catwoman.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, a kid on their own is fine.
Yeah.
It's just like, would it's a grown up allow it?
Why would a grown up allow this? Yeah.
Like, why would Batman be like, no, you're going to come with me?
Unless you make Batman totally unhinged. And that could be another avenue to go down where it's like, this is, let's tell it from Robin's perspective. Right. Well, let's just do it. Like, he's a lunatic. I'm living with a lunatic. I'm in danger all the time. He wants me to dress up.
Yeah.
This is scary for me.
I always loved the female one from The Dark Knight.
Yeah, Carrie Kelly.
Yeah. She was, I was like.
She has a roller skates.
Yeah. That was a cool character. And then she becomes something else
in
The Dark Knight Rides Again or whatever the fuck it's called. The one that made around 9/11. That's super weird.
Oh.
It was like the beginning of
Frank Miller like,
becoming a psycho.
Yeah.
Because there's three. There's the original Dark Knight Returns. Then there was one right around 9/11
Wait, no, there's the, hold on. There's Dark Knight Returns and there's Dark Knight Strikes Back, I think.
I think Strikes Back is around the early 2000s.
Really? I didn't realize it was that recent. I thought it was
a third one that no one talks about.
Okay. Because I remember in Strikes Back, there's like Plastic Man plays a kind of big role.
Yeah.
That's weird.
It gets worse and worse.
That one's not great. It's not,
Robin.
The problem of Robin.
He's kind of, Batman is kind of, and again, I've only seen the first season. Batman is kind of a psycho in Titans. Okay. Like Robin's kind of like, why would you put me in this situation? What the fuck is wrong with you? Mm-hmm. Like that's why he says fuck Batman, because he sort of like disowns Batman. Mm-hmm. And he's like, Batman's just a fucking, in that show, he's sort of portrayed as like a single-minded sociopath. Like Batman just does this one thing and there's nothing else in his life that matters. Mm-hmm. And he doesn't care about anything else about except being Batman.
Mm-hmm.
So
I mean, yeah, I could see that. On the Harley Quinn animated series, they have a Robin. It's played by Jacob Tremblay.
Perfect.
And he's like on morning talk shows and he's like, I'm a cutie pie.
That's adorable.
And it's such a funny take on him. It's great. They like totally go in the opposite direction and lean in. He's like a baby, basically.
Isn't it interesting that with Batman, there's no middle ground, mm-hmm. right? You've got two choices. You could go darker or
super
sillier.
Cute. Yeah, and silly.
Right?
Yeah, although I think that's why I like the Harley Quinn show so much, because it really marries the two. Like, it's over.
You know,
the
so
top.
Does the animated series, now that I think about it.
Yeah. They have a lot of silliness in it, and it works.
Right.
It works, and Batman is always the perfect foil to the silliness that's happening.
Yeah.
Where the Adam West one, of course, he's like part of the silliness, but
right.
Yeah, like anytime they have a Harley Quinn and Joker centric episode, Batman is always there like, what is happening with these two always?
You know, the Adam West show, mm-hmm. as much as I like it, it throws a monkey wrench into Batman's development in pop culture. It makes him more famous than ever and like a household name, but everything else is like running from that.
Yeah.
Even now, it feels like it's so long ago, kids don't even know about it.
Mm-hmm.
Still, it's like we're running away from that.
Yeah.
The only person who ever embraced it was Joel Schumacher.
Yeah.
And we hated him for it.
Yeah. Well, there's these two moments, right? There's these like two reactive Batman moments. And one is the 60s series where everything else has to be a response to it and be darker and be more serious. I mean, even with Michael Keaton, who's like a sort of a comedic actor prior to that, he's like, no, I'm lighthearted as Bruce Wayne, but I'm going to be a serious Batman.
Right.
And then there's the Schumacher movies, and particularly Batman and Robin.
Yeah.
That everyone is like, no, we're never going to touch this again. We can't be silly anymore. We have to be dark and serious.
Right.
Although, you know, Batman Forever,
it gets thrown in with Batman and Robin, but it was much more successful and it works much better as a film.
It does, but it also has those like extremely dumb moments.
Yeah.
I mean, it's the Batman, it's the Robin origin.
Yeah.
Which I guess that's why people don't include Robin, right? Because they did such weird stuff with him. Like, he's like, Master Grayson, would you like to use the dryer for your clothes? And he's like, no, man, I got my own way of drying clothes. And then he like uses his clothes as nunchucks and dries his clothes that way. And it's so stupid.
Yeah.
And also Batman and Robin, I feel like Batgirl gets overlooked.
Yeah.
That we introduced Batgirl as well.
Right. You know where Batgirl is really well used and introduced? The Lego Batman movie.
Mm-hmm. And the Harley Quinn series too.
And oh really?
Oh, yeah. That's interesting. Yeah. Oh, you really have to watch it because Jim Gordon, like Gotham is completely under siege and they think Batman is dead at one point. Diedrich Bader, by the way, plays Batman, is a great Batman. And so Gordon is completely unraveled and is like an alcoholic, but it's like it's played for comedy and it works. Mm. So that's when Barbara's like, I gotta do something, like I gotta help out, and like she becomes Batgirl.
Uh-huh.
But she's a major character in it. They handle her very, very well. It's just one of the best takes on Batman, and I agree with Lego too. Like
Lego's a really good
Lego
Batman movie.
Is the only movie that has ever, I think, nailed the Joker Batman relationship.
It's all about their relationship. Yeah. And Robin, I like Michael Cera's Robin in that. I love the design of Robin with the big glasses.
Yeah,
eyes.
That's cute.
Yeah, but again, it's like silly. But being that it came out after The Dark Knight, you have
Will Arnett.
You have Will Arnett kind of making fun of Christian Bale. Mm-hmm. Will Arnett, the only person, Michael Keaton's favorite other Batman.
Yes, I did know that he's Michael Keaton's favorite Batman.
Michael Keaton's coming back.
I know.
In more, maybe more than one thing. He's going to be Batman in the Flash movie, mm-hmm. which is more Spider-Verse shit.
Yeah.
Just like everything. Here comes the Flintstones.
Why not?
And right. And then maybe something after that. Maybe the new Batgirl.
Okay. Movie. They should just do Beyond if they're bringing him in. I mean, I say do Returns, Dark Knight Returns, but
right.
I mean, that would be cool.
That gets so bananas.
Yeah, but I'd say do Beyond then.
Yeah.
Why not?
Right, I agree.
And I feel like Beyond is actually in keeping with the Michael Keaton stuff. Like you can easily see that being his future, where it's like more and more futuristic, but he's still in the cave. It looks like the Keaton cave.
Right.
Yeah. Bring back Will Friedle.
There's a is it Crypto? There's like a Super Pets movie coming out. A Crypto movie.
Oh, okay. Crypto the Super Dog.
Yeah, but what
and
is
was
it called?
Ace the Bat Hound?
Yes. What is the name of this new stupid fucking movie?
and Scooby-Doo.
do
they all have dumb animals?
Yeah, you bet they do. You fucking bet they do. Let's see here. Oh, DC League of Super Pets.
Okay.
Keanu Reeves is Batman in that.
Oh, I love that.
And The Rock is Crypto. Kevin Hart is Ace, the Bat Hound.
Stop.
Boy,
they got some real juice behind
John
this
Krasinski
movie.
Is Superman.
Okay.
Mark Maron as Lex Luthor.
That's going to be weird. That's interesting. Okay.
This could be fun. It's so weird. See, it's that all these things exist at the same time. Because, mm-hmm. and this is something I've been thinking about for a while, like canon. Like, mm-hmm. it's something that used to not be something that mattered as much. Mm-hmm. But now it drives things. It's either the thing you're striving for, everything must be canon, and therefore fans look for cracks in that, like with Star Wars, mm-hmm. right?
I think canon matters less now, though.
Well, but I see, I think it's always there to be grappled with, because you either have to do it or you have to purposely not do it.
Mm.
And I think what DC's doing is purposely not doing it, but it's not the same as not caring about it the way they once didn't care about it.
Right.
Like, it seems like another example would be, for me, He-Man. Netflix has two concurrent He-Man shows, mm-hmm. in two different timelines, mm-hmm. that are not related.
Right.
And they're both happening at the exact same time. Mm-hmm. They're both coming out at the same time. And it feels almost like a flex of, like, fuck canon.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
I like that. I mean, I think, you know, the more stories we have, like, the better stories we have.
Yeah.
And I feel like it's something that Marvel is struggling with now, because they were so singularly focused on canon and it was so working for them and so profitable and right. keeping everything in universe and everything sort of on message. And now it's really
it's
something there.
To me, and it's probably suffocating to them.
You can feel them straining against it. That's why they open up the multiverse.
Right.
Because they have to get around it somehow.
Right.
And now they've sort of opened the door for themselves, where if something doesn't match they really painstakingly laid out the canon. And good for them. I mean, it's a very difficult
task.
They
did what comic book fans always wanted.
Yeah.
It happened. They did it.
They did it. But now it's done. So now they have to they have to keep making stuff, right? So now I think this new phase where, like, everything's multiverse,
yeah.
they're giving themselves, like, an exit, right? So they can do other things.
Right,
because otherwise, like you said, it's suffocating.
But
you
the thing about the multiverse is it allows you to have canon and not. Mm-hmm. It allows you to be like, hey, we're redoing things, but because we've established that there's a multiverse, the things you like aren't erased. They're still there. It's like the new Star Trek movies exist in a different universe as the original Star Trek.
Yeah. Which is frustrating, but also it's like, it's trying to make everybody happy, I guess.
Right.
Which you can never do, of course.
Right.
Mm.
Well, we did it. We exhaustively
we did
talked about Batman Mask of the Phantasm.
Go watch it. It's available on HBO Max.
Yeah. I like Ninja Batman. Or is it Ninja Batman? That was another animated one that was just bananas. It's total what if. It's
was
like,
that the Tony Hale?
Yes.
Joker?
Right.
I love Tony Hale. I don't love his Joker.
He wasn't good as a Joker, but it was just like, how about Batman in feudal Japan? How about it?
Sure,
why not? It's pretty awesome. Then cool. There's Gotham by Gaslight.
Oh yeah, that's a cool one. Which is fun.
Another. I love shit like that. Yeah. See, that's fun. Just like fucking whatever. Yeah. Who gives a shit?
Well, it's like the whatever happened to the Dark Knight. Mm-hmm. It was like whatever happened to the Man of Tomorrow. Alan yeah. Moore's thing. Whatever happened to the Dark Knight was Neil Gaiman's project that they gave him.
Yeah.
Where it's like it's Batman's deathbed and like all of his. Like bosom pals are coming forward to like tell stories of Batman. And then at the end he exists, he's alive, but it's, he exists because he exists always. He'll never die.
Yeah.
And one of my favorite stories in that is, Alfred tells his story. And basically it's like, you know, Alfred's original background, which was that he was an actor before being the Wayne's butler. And so, it's like basically Bruce Wayne kind of just lost his mind after his parents died and he wanted to be a crime fighter, but he would just like wander the streets. And so Alfred gave him someone to fight. And then it's revealed that like Alfred has been the Joker this whole time because he's an actor. So he'd put on the makeup and act like the villain. And it's really fun. It's a good, it's a great, great story.
That is fun.
And like those things, like you could adapt that with these DC movies because they just, they're like one-offs. They exist on their own. You sure that COVID's done?
Yeah.
All right.
You know what I think about, and I don't mean to open up a whole new can of theoretical beans as we're trying to wrap up.
We're almost done. We almost got him.
Well, let me bring up something huge. Because of the change, because of fucking Disney, the change of copyright law has got us to the situation we are where everything is IP.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas we used to be inspired by things.
Mm-hmm.
Now we, and create our own version of it. Now we just take the thing and make a new version of it. So part of me wonders where we will go.
Mm.
Like we're already beginning to get to this postmodern, like nothing means anything flattening of everything. Like in 30 years, what will we have? Will it just be like there's been 800 Batmans and no one even blinks at it anymore because we're so used to it. And yeah. Every year there's a new Batman. And Batman is like, you know what I mean? Like,
do you think it'll go away for a while like it did after Batman and Robin?
No, I don't think they let things go away.
Not anymore.
No, it's, I don't know where it goes. Because things, you know, if to take Batman, right? The lineage is like Robin Hood, Zorro, Scarlet Pimpernel, Batman. But then the law changes and now copyright is king and that's how you make money. So now
everything's just Batman, Batman, forever. Batman, Batman. Well, yeah.
Yeah. I don't know where it brings us because you've got culture that's owned by a few companies. All right. Well, this is PCMC. I'm Mike Bongiorno. I'm joined by the boy wonder, Janine Gagliardi. Janine, thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me.
We end every episode.
Bye-bye.